بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وزجي رحمة الله had once explained that you work according to deen, then dunya bi hasil or akhirat bi. You get the good of this life and the enjoyment of the hereafter as well. The simple procedure is the procedure of deen. You do it and you see dunya also works out, and the enjoyment of the hereafter is also experienced. Then the nucleus and the focal point is the heart. One is the spiritual heart. The Quran Sharif sometimes talks about it in the word nafs. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا. Sometimes Quran Sharif calls it ruh. Right? Generally the Quran Sharif says nafs. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ. So the focal point is this ruh, the soul. And what does Allah Ta'ala want? He wants that this ruh must have two things. It must be clean and it must have the right shape. Shaping and cleaning. You got both, you got everything. Shaping means do it according to the shape of deen. You want to offer a prayer, for example, then according to the formula of deen. Can't just do anything. That formula that was shown, then that formula, apply that formula. And number two, let it be clean all the time. So that means that there's going to be challenges coming on your way, challenges about the purification of the soul. So someone or something may happen not according to what you would like. So how are you going to respond? So there will be a person that's ridiculing, hurting, he's gossiping, or he's doing something to hurt. Now in the face of all this thing here, then how are you expected to keep the heart clean? That's the whole exam, that's the whole imtihan, that's the whole trial. So as though we are all in an examination room and the examination paper has been given to us. Examination paper is about clean the heart and keep the right shape. So everything else is extra. If we got this in mind, then we know, right, what's desired in the exams, so we can work accordingly. If someone thinks, no, in the examination room, I must pull in with a nice Cadillac, right, and I must have a Persian carpet with 10 million dirhams, a ball pen with gold and pearls and diamonds all studded on that, right? So all that must be very good, very too beautiful. My clothing must be top of the range, branded names, top, with all my trouser, my upper garment must be at least worth about 50-70,000 rand, and the shoes, something else must be, like outer space came from. Now it's coming to the examination room in this thing here. So does this impress the examiner? But this is irrelevant. What I want to see is how much you know. This, I can't give you marks because of the car, because of your suit, because of your equipment and stationery. I can't give you marks based on that. I'm going to give you marks based on the examination paper. So this is the examination paper. Get the formula, right? And number two, get the purity. You got that, you got everything. Dunya bi hasil, or ukhra bi johar, as a bonus you get the hereafter as well. Dunya also, and you get the hereafter as well, both. It's so easy, the formula is so easy. With the passage of time, then people begin to distort the formula. See, someone said, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. They said, no, the formula, the examination is about, you must be a Jew by birth, or you must be a Christian by birth, then you got it right. So someone said that, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. So the same formula that was passed down by all the Anbiya alayhim salam became distorted. One person, the second person, and it became so distorted that you couldn't distinguish what's the actual formula and what's the distortion. Couldn't make out. Became so. So Allah Ta'ala answers this same thing. I'm giving a different word, but Allah Ta'ala answers it. Says, Bala man aslam wajhu. Two things. I also mentioned two things. Allah Pak says two things. Man aslama wajhahu lillah. The first thing is that you submit yourself to Allah Ta'ala. Unquestionable submission. You give a submission without any questions. So that's the first requirement. A submission without questioning. This questioning mind can come in two respects. One in, for example, in your dini matters. Zuhur namaz, why two rakats? Asar namaz, why four rakats? All these things can come in your mind, right? And the other type of questions that can come to your mind is why he's wealthier, why I don't have it, and why did he say this, why didn't this person did, why didn't he help me? He knew I was there. Why didn't he look at me? Why didn't he make salam to me? So now these type of questions will always ring in your mind. So the first aspect is you, without any questions, you just submit. So one type of work will be called tashreeh, what is the command of Allah Ta'ala. And the other type of work will be called takween. Takween are other matters that don't relate directly to dini ibadat. That's tashri. One is ibadat, etc., haram, halal. And one is like the other things that relate to your life. Like you'll live in a home, you'll have an occupation, you'll fall sick, someone will die, you'll go through a tragedy, you'll go through some good times. So these are other things besides dini things. But one is directly connecting to your deen, and one is, it's not directly connected to your deen. So one is tashri, one is the queen. So in all you're supposed to be just submitting. It's a command of Allah, let it be. Someone passed away, right? Let it be. Now we will mourn about the thing, we'll go and sympathize with the person, whatever is required to do, we will do that. But now we won't take it one step beyond that, no. You know, the person passed away. So now, maybe the doctor didn't look at him right. Or maybe he committed suicide. You know, quietly, nobody knows, and he committed suicide. Or maybe his wife was giving him uphill, you know. So then he just called it a day, finished his life. So now we don't get into all that. That's not our department. Allah Pak's itinerary, coming this time and departing at this time. So he's reached that departure time, that is gone. Right. Not that now you don't do a post-mortem, but there's a need, obviously they will do a post-mortem. Right. But that doesn't mean that you don't investigate. If there is a need for investigation, you will investigate. But now you keep allowing your mind to go in circles, what was the cause and why and when, and if this person was there, then he wouldn't have died. Right? So you will get into a rut, you will not be able to come out. No. One person has had a jinnat as a friend. But the jinnat doesn't get tired. Carry on working, carry on. He doesn't know what to do now. So he gave him one sift. What do you call it? Sift. What do you do? You take this and you empty the water of the ocean. So he'll keep taking it. He'll keep taking out, everything will drop out, come out and fall. It won't end. So this is now that chakra that you put your mind into. You can't come out of it. Not be able to come out. The more you try to come out, the more you'll put. So in deen also the easier thing is just give yourself khalas, submission. In dunya also, just give yourself. Today, now I went to shop, right? I made ₹1,000,000. Alhamdulillah. Hit it nicely. Tomorrow I made 2 cents. I would say, Alhamdulillah, with ₹1,000,000 came with the will of Allah Ta'ala. The next day it was 2 cents with the will of Allah Ta'ala. Now, why must I stress about the whole thing? Hey, why this thing happened? And this person, he must have caused it. No, that person put jadu there on the road, on the... So that's where the customer just came here and they were moving away. So you won't get out of this thing here. So the easy thing is trust in Allah Ta'ala and move on. It's the will of Allah Ta'ala that this had to happen. Move on. How many phones you get like this, you know? So my shop here, I opened it now. Customers are just coming there. And then they just turn away, move away. Other phone will come. Yeah, man. Whenever there's a proposal for my daughter, they come and they move away. They seem to be interested, but then hey, someone put some jadu. So now you can't get out of that. See, once someone injected that thought into your mind, then you can't come out of it. You will remain in that thought. You can't come out of it. Or rather be positive. Do what you're supposed to be doing and move on. So this prescription that has been given by deen is good for your deen, good for your hereafter, good for your mental well-being and good for your physical well-being. And if you don't apply this, then you'll keep going in circles. You can't come out of the circle. See? So the first thing the Quran Sharif says, Man aslama wajhahu lillah. It's a will of Allah Ta'ala. It happened. I assigned my effort to Allah Ta'ala. I did the necessary. And now after I've done the necessary, now I assigned my effort to Allah Ta'ala. One person got the wealth. In India it happened. He got the wealth. And Hajj is faraz on him. So he won't just go for Hajj. What if the ship sinks? Then it's culpable suicide. In those days, in every, say, 100 boats, one boat will sink. So all of them are guilty of suicide. And the person that took them, he killed them. Culpable suicide. Every 100 boats, if you look at old history, about 200, 300 years ago history, every 100 or 200 boats, one, two is sinking down. Right? But trade, commerce continued, Hajj continued, there is an all culpable suicide, captain, you. So, they didn't charge the captain for that. They didn't charge the ship liner, not the captain, no, they carried on the business, everything carried on. Right? In today's times, in every 10,000 flights, one flight may crash or something will happen. Right? So, it's going to happen. So they'll charge them for culpable suicide. So, it happened. Allah Bakhs will. When we do all these things, all these funny things, then you can't get out of the circle. But he's in charge. He's responsible. He knew, you know, he had to check the plane before it land off. Why is the black box? Why is it all sealed up? Well, it's an inside job. Someone rigged the whole thing. You know. But they will carry on and carry on. No end to it. So what Allah Bakhs is? Aslam wajhahu. Whether it's a worldly related thing, whether it's a dini thing, leave it to Allah Ta'ala. It will happen. It will take its course. In Bukhari Sharif is a hadith. See, they call it Qasama. Qasama means if a corpse is found in a certain street, for example, right? Corpse is found there. Now, you don't know who's the murderer. It's a dead body lying in a certain street, but you don't know the murderer. So, the family of the deceased, they got the right to select 100 people, or 50 people, not 100, 50 people. And that 50 people, they must take an oath, مَا قَتَلْنَاهُ وَمَا نَعْلَمُ لَهُ قَاتِلًا. They must say, مَا قَتَلْنَاهُ وَمَا نَعْلَمُ لَهُ قَاتِلًا. That we are not responsible for this murder, nor do we know anything about the murderer. We are not responsible for this, we haven't done this, nor do we know who is the murderer, we don't know. So once they say this, then all charges against them will be dropped, but they will have to pay a diyat, because the body was found in that street. Right? So the diyat is what? A blood money. Blood money is equivalent to how much? 100 camels. So the people of that street will be responsible to give 100 camels to the family of the deceased. Because body was found. When the body was found here, then it's your street, you're supposed to be taking care of what's going on. Now, how did the murder take place in your street? That means you were not taking care. So therefore, the Shariat holds you responsible. See, Amn-e-Am, the public security, the Shariat holds the public also responsible to maintain public security. It's not just the police's work to maintain public security, it's the public's work also. You must also help in maintaining that. In Alamgir Rahmatullah's time, kings had a lot of sight, Amn-e-Am, how to maintain public security. So in his zamana, in Chandni Chowk is like a busy place in Delhi, right? Somewhere there. So there would always be a fight in that street. Busy, it's a very busy shopping area, and there's always a fight. So every second day, every day, there's a court case. He hurt that person, he slapped that person, he smashed him down, he punched him, he slapped him. So Alamgir Rahmatullah said, no, this thing has come to an end. So what he did, he saw that this is the place, alright. He identified the place, 20 shopkeepers on this side of the street, 20 on this side. He got them, summoned them all, right. But the roads are small like this, very small, say about 4 meters, right? So you got a shop this side, shop meters, and they can cross, crisscross very easily. They call 20 people from this side, 20 people from the other end. Right. And he gave them 3 cuts each, hard ones, tight ones, here, each one. He say, hey, we didn't do anything, why are we catching it? Now look at the site. Now, they went back to their shops, right? But if ever any person raised his voice also, straight away 2-3 people should come from this side. 2 people, hey, please, for Allah's sake, just maintain the peace here, you will fight that side. Fight here, you will fight, we will catch it. You will do the fighting, we will catch it. Now you see this, maintaining public security. It's everybody's work. You can't be at every point, at every time. So others will also cooperate in maintaining security. Now you can see someone getting robbed, nabbed, killed. No, it's not my business. That's not a Muslim. You try and contribute whatever you can do to maintain some security, you do it. Unless the law becomes very, very difficult, right? Sometimes, some places it happens that you go and assist, so you become the victim, right? Something happens and you become the victim. But the law is difficult, then you see how you're going to save yourself. Otherwise, every person is responsible to see and maintain public security. So we're talking about this Qasama, right? So, now, these people were supposed to take an oath, right? That we don't know the killer and we are not responsible for the killing. We don't know the killer and we are not responsible for the killing. Right. So when it came to that point, so there was some mischief. They got someone, they included someone to take that oath. Understand? Like 50 people of that street were supposed to be appointed as per this person's discretion. So there was some mischief on this idea. When there was some mischief on this idea, alright, the oath was taken and they were acquitted, cleared up. But since 1 year didn't pass, all 50 people died. All 50 that took that false oath, all of them died. That 50 people were going somewhere or something, and I think it was raining or something, so they took shelter in a cave. That cave just caved in. All of them finished, see. So this law of Allah Ta'ala is a divine law, and you can't play with divine law. You can't substitute the divine law, and you can't play with the law. Just keep in that, how Allah Pak said it, you're going to play, you're going to change, you're going to make adjustments, you will get into trouble, get into problems. It's Allah Pak's law. See, now worldwide, they said, no, you can't amputate the hand, because na'uzubillah, it's bad, what they said. And when they did that, what happened? What are the consequences? The consequence was that every home had a burglar guard, burglar alarm, right? Then you got a police patrol, CPF, right? Then you got CCTV, right? Then with all that, everybody's carrying guns, right? They're worried about what's going to happen, right? All that, right? Then the motor cars have got alarms and satellites and everything, right? Because they did away with this thing here. Then the cherry on the top is, even the police stations they didn't find safe, they had to have a security over the police station. Right. So it went to, when you try to substitute the law of Allah, then this is what happens. Because it's a worldwide problem, everywhere it's happening. It's not only here, it's everywhere, anywhere you go in the world, it's the same thing, right? Why? You said, no, this is barbaric, na'uzubillah, go and substitute it with something else. So when you try that, then this is what happened. So now, that means now what happened is the victim, right, he walks freely with his chest open. And all the innocent people have to live like prisoners. All innocent people must live like prisoners. And these victims, they walk with their chest open all freely. Why? You try to replace the law of Allah Ta'ala. Now the law of Allah Ta'ala is such that he is guilty of theft. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا وَلْيَشْهَدْ أَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So let that amputation, the hand amputation, let it happen in full view of the public. And in today's time, if someone's hand is being amputated, it's going to be amputated in public, it's going to be viral, the whole world will see it, right? When the whole world will see it, then what will happen? There will be no theft. That fear, the way it will get into the hearts, nobody will attempt doing it. Now, see, in the Haramain, right? Do not say that's 100% compliance, right? But everybody sees it. Before it was even more visible, right? More clear. You should get the big jewelry shops, gold, silver, diamonds, all that. Namaz time, and they just put one chadar, one sheet over the shop, and they go on. 2-3 hours, rest, kailula, and they have the tea, namaz, everything, and they'll come back. Nobody got the guts to even shift that veil. Nobody got the guts. See that law, Allah's law, divine law. You'll find a woman in the Haramain, right? At, say, 1 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the night, right? And she can go alone to the Haram Sharif, free, peacefully, tranquility, go alone and come back. She's not interfered. Nobody will do anything to her. So just Just the law of Allah Ta'ala applied, and what a difference it makes to life. And the law of Allah Ta'ala just adjusted, changed, removed, and what a problem it was. In all the Western countries, you look, every corner there must be a camera, whatever. But all what they've got, yet they got problems. The problem is still escalating. Because obviously, the camera, etc., is going to be operated by man, and man knows how to manipulate. Is a camera there? I need to do a theft. I know how to do it. Just to manipulate, right? How to play the thing out. So they learned all these things here, and how to work around it. So they felt that crime is right, provided you don't get caught. You must just know, just master the art of not getting caught. So a lawyer, that's what he feels. I can do anything, I must not get implicated, that's all. So anything, you can smash it, break it, do anything, but I mustn't get implicated. See, so that's the end of the law. So here we are talking of balaman aslama. So one is, Allah says, whether in the religions of the past, whether now in Islam, there's just two things required. One is Islam, that's given. It's a law of Allah Ta'ala, it's a command of Allah Ta'ala. Let it be. He's willed it, and it's His design. So now, when it's His design, let's take it on this in stride. So whether it is about deen, whether it's about other things, but it's the will of Allah Ta'ala, let it be. Now in this part of the world, you see the roza is about just under 12 hours, isn't it? Yeah. And you look at India is about 16 or 17 hours, right? Then you go Norway and other places, they're getting about 20 hours, 20, 21 hours. Now those people think, those people that are living in Norway, they say, hey, had we been in South Africa, we're too good, man. 11 hours roza, right? And those people in South Africa, they're looking for another spot in the world, you've got a 6-hour roza. So I ask you, will there be any end to this? No end to this. But just be comfortable in the state that you are. If you allow your mind to go there, you won't be there, you won't be here. That means you're not going to use your time correctly here, and you can't be there as well at the same time. You're going to be in a chakkar all the time. All the time you're going to be spinning, your mind will be spinning. How Allah kept it, how He designed it, just be happy and carry on. So, balaman aslam wajhahu. How what an important principle it is. I know it's about almost 40 years, right? When I came from India. So, one doctor, now he wanted to marry a certain girl, right? And he was complaining, you know, I went to that man, he knew what a good person I am, but he just turned the proposal blankly, bluntly, he just turned it up. He's married already, but he's still bitter about it, that why was that proposal turned down. Right. So I told him, saying, but whatever is the taqdeer of Allah, just be happy and move on with your life. Anyway, now that's 40 years ago, right? Now, moving ahead in life, he's got children. That girl that he was interested, she's got married, and both got children. One day, off the blue, I got that doctor. Nice. I know the both families, so I know the children also, right? That's the doctor. Now, do you want to swap with his children for your children? With that girl and her children, for your children and your wife? No, no, no. It took me so much of time to understand that this woman here will not bear good children. And my wife want very good children, health-wise, intelligent, everything, right? And this one here didn't bear that type of children. This one here bore that type of children. But it took me 20 years or 22 years to understand this thing. Now, we're telling you, at the beginning you should have accepted. So your 22 years wouldn't have gone in this trauma. But you didn't accept it. Now, after 22 years now you got relief. Had you accepted it then, no trauma. But it was the will of Allah. It happened. It's supposed to happen. It happened. But not, oh, why I got married here, I should have got married here, why did I settle here, why? But that will never finish, it'll never end up. The ghaib and the unseen is with Allah, Allah knows the unseen, it's not with me, not with anybody. Allah knows it, but your work is just to be happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the first requirement in this plan, that the plan of Allah Ta'ala, embrace it, be happy with it. I don't say you will not mourn at the tragedy, you can grieve, but no problem. Right? But don't allow these questions to ring in your mind, okay, why did I take this thing here, I should have taken that one there. Don't allow your mind to run in that circle. It happens in business as well. He started an investment, or a business he started, right? And his business, his investment, that thing just turned. And yours didn't. I said, amen. I should have taken that one. Why I missed out here? So now, will that grief ever end? It won't end. Nothing will happen also, the grief won't end. You'll keep sweating yourself. And then, after some time, you'll grasp that person. Yeah, you knew that was a better one. Why didn't you just indicate to me also? So you'll start hating that person, and you'll hurt yourself. So, man aslama, you just accept it, embrace it, accept it. End of the story. Bala man aslama wajhahu lillah. You will accept it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. His pleasure, it's His decision, and because it is His decision, therefore I'm happy. I'm not going to be complaining about this. In the least, I won't complain. You get two jamaats. One is that person who allows his mind to keep working. So when he allows his mind to keep working, his grief never ends. And you get another jamaat that like to incite, spur up, provoke. Now, there's no trouble, but then I won't find pleasure until I see trouble. So how I'll see trouble? I must provoke, I must incite, I must start off something. I will see the thing. When I see the thing, then I'll see the fun. Then I'll be a spectator, see how they're fighting. I see how these people fight. Big people with beards, kurtas, and they're fighting. Right? So you get one jamaat that provokes. Right? And now you're getting it all the time with this WhatsApp and all that, provoking. So he'll ask one question here, he'll ask this person here, then he'll compare his question to this one, and then he'll internet the thing, that he'll go viral. So yeah, see how these ulama are fighting. But who's causing it? Who's causing it? This is public's work. They like to see excitement. They like to entertain them. Now, the public's work was so simple. I need to know on masla. Right? I just learned the masla. End of the story. But I took the masla here. I compared it with his, and the third person, and the fourth person. And now I'm circulating the thing. Now what happens? Then someone will comment on his son, or he's not right, or he's a munafiq, he's either son. See how you take it from one level to the other level. Right? Who you had confidence, who you had trust, who you respected, take that thing and move on. Kalas. You won't find that happiness and satisfaction until you don't send it viral, and you don't get that type of negative response. Now you get that negative response, now you feel happy. See? So you could have opted for the right thing, for the nice thing, for the better thing, but you only find satisfaction with filth. Now that's the public that we are working with, that they only find that fulfillment when they see filth. And they don't see filth, they don't find satisfaction. So you will not say that it's the ulama's fault only, but it's the public also that is responsible very largely. And then they say, yeah, see the ulama, we are fighting now, what must we know? Is there any hope left for the ummah? But we're not inspecting how this thing is going. Right. It was Ramzan time, and it's about iftar time. Now, in India, the iftar is like a special dawat, you know. They call it iftari. I don't know if you remember one time you had a meerut. Remember? Yeah. So at iftar time, they give you a dawat at that time. So that the namaz will take place about 25 minutes later, so they give a proper dawat at iftar time. So, houses, homes are small, you're going past, I can see you from the road, you're coming. So I'll call my brother or someone, my friend, come and help with me. So it was an elder brother, he called his younger brother, Maulana Abdul Jalil, that was the younger brother's name, right? So he called him, say, you will have iftari with me today. The elder brother is saying, the younger brother, you're going to join me for iftari. So the younger brother is too obedient to his wife, you see. So he says, zara ghar mein zara pooch karke aata hu. I will fire off the wife. Because she may just turn around and say, you know, I prepared the whole day for you, and then you're going to eat somewhere else. She'll pull up her face. So what I'm going to do there? Now that young elder brother, he got pulled up. I am like the father here. And he's subjecting me to his wife. Gave one plot. Gave his brother one slap. Now that's happening right in the masjid. Near the masjid that's happening. All the Muslims are seeing. The elder brother, he slapped the younger brother in full view of all the Muslims. Now look at the, see I'm talking about public now. Public mustn't feel that they're too innocent. They're also guilty in this thing. They're very guilty. Now look at the public's response. Alright, the elder brother hit his alim brother. He won't slap, right? The public response is what? Public response is, you take him to the police, report him. It's your democratic right. You can eat where you want. What business he's got to force you to come and eat at his place? What he thinks of himself? He's God what? Your wife doesn't have any rights. No, he can't do this. You take him. We are witnesses. We'll stand up for you. See, this is public. Now, we think the public is very, very innocent. But many a times, they provoke. They incite. He'll say something. Second person will say something else. Man gets provoked and he does something stupid. But because of this type of comments. Now, Allah gave that Mullah Abdul Jalil Tawfiq. He says, never, I'll never do this. That's my elder brother. He's got the right. If he struck me, I must take it as though I am his son. He's my elder brother, like my father. I'm like his son. If he struck me, so what? But you people should feel embarrassed of yourself. That when there was an internal problem, instead of you people try to patch the thing, you're inciting and you are provoking, taking it at a different level. Aren't you embarrassed of yourself? The way he told them, you all went cold. Now, this is what the public needs. That you need to just cool them off completely. Make them cold, they mustn't get them again. But now, we listen to his comment, and the next person's comment, and third person's comment, and then we get incited, we get provoked, we say something, and it becomes a big thing now. Now, imagine if he has to go to court now. He's suing him, right? One thing will lead to the other. He's calling his lawyer, right? And they're fighting it out. So it becomes our public news. See, brothers are fighting. Own blood brothers, they can fight. Mulana, and he's fighting. Yeah, see how public will take it now. Before they incited and they provoked, when the fight started off, now see, Mulana, they can take each other to court. So the simple way was, what is the way of peace? Way of peace is now, I need to take him and understand it's my elder brother, he's got the right, his understanding is better than my understanding, so what? Even if he's faltered in his understanding and reasoning, so what? It's like my father, so what? Let me take in the stride and carry on with my life. Now would there be any problem after that? In fact now we're quoting the story and now, say 50 years later on in life, we're quoting it. Isn't it a feather in the cap of the Mullah Abdul Jalil? But had he taken his brother to court, had we given him an applaud like this? We are applauding him now because he took it in the right stride. He just avoided all problems, he took it now, mind. All to say, his brother, he must slap, clapped him. Most they will say. That's all, anything else they can say. But what a gentleman, he just took it in the stride, he didn't do anything, he didn't even backmouth him, he didn't even try to retaliate, and he still maintains that brotherly love. He still goes to the house. After he got that slap, then he went and ate. Tum baat se nahi mante, to laat se manenge. You're not going to listen like this, then we'll kick you, we'll force you to it. Because he's afraid now, he may get another another shot. So he said, simple thing, let me go and eat my brother. But you see how these people of old, and how they maintain things. Now when this takabbur and this pride came into our system, then we don't have to take it out. The simple thing was, by just shift the takabbur out. Is my brother, is my, like my father, if he said something, let it be. Let me not argue with him, let me not fight with him. Let it carry on. He'll feel happy. I'll smile, he'll smile. And it's forgotten. But now if I make it a story then, so this is the first requirement. That in tashri and takween, that we just submit happily. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala. It's a work of Allah Ta'ala. He wants it to be like this, let it be. Man aslama wajhahu lillah. I said, the right shape and purity, right? Now see the second verse, second word. Wa ahsana. He doesn't just do the work, he does it well as well. He does it, and he does it well. Like for example, of the same story of Mawlana Abdul Jalil, right? So now, say for example, he didn't respond. He didn't respond, right? But he pulled up his face. And his mind said, I'll fix my brother up. He didn't respond, but he said, I'll fix him up, right? Now, will he be conforming to wa ahsana? I'll put him in his place. Let me get my chance, I'll put him in his place. Will he be conforming wa ahsana? With ihsan? Now, ihsan means now, you put up a good explanation for your church, for your brother. My brother, he's got a right, so what? He's disciplining me. When was I perfect? So he's correcting me, so what? Let him correct me. I won't die if he corrects me. Let me accept the correction. Bala man aslam wajhahu lillahi. The first is that he submits not because of convenience, but because of the sake of Allah. Right? One is just to accept, but you accept something, you submit, you give in, just for some type of convenience. So it's not because of convenience that you're accepting. It is for the love of Allah Ta'ala, for the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, for the majesty of Allah Ta'ala that you've just accepted. Allah Ta'ala is your command. You want it to be like this. And you're the master planner. And you want it to be like this. I'm accepting it. I'm wholeheartedly embracing this thing. Because it's from you. I long for a son and I got a daughter, right? I long for a child that was normal, but I got someone that is Down syndromes. Allah Pak is from you. Now, will you be grieving? It's a Down syndrome. Now, whole life now, I'll be land up with this thing here. With this problem here. See this pulley, how they are children now. This person here is going to be grieving all his time. All the time going to be grieving. But you said, no, this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Let it be. Bala man aslam wa jahu lillahi. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak knows words. Now, you're not going to check yourself that this same fikr, the same khyal will escalate. I got married in this family here and they got a track record that they have some delinquents, they have some Down syndromes all in the family. Why did I get married here? See that? You'll be cursing your wife, or the wife will be cursing the husband, one of the two will happen. And you will not feel happy in yourself, you'll feel miserable all the time. Easy way, by Allah Pak's command, it had to happen in heaven class. Sometimes you swear the child, the Down syndrome, you will swear him. Sometimes you will swear the wife, will swear the husband. Sometimes the husband will swear the wife. And the whole life will go in misery. And Allah is saying, Man aslam wajhahu. So for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you have submitted. Now you could have thought about a good plan. Give a good explanation in your mind. Man aslam wajhahu lillahi. Right? Give a good explanation in your mind. Alhamdulillah, this child came, right? So I got two rewards for this, inshallah. What is I make sabr, I got reward, right? The whole life is for reward, right? So I get reward for it. Number two, now that he's backwards and he's Down syndrome, etc. So he doesn't, he's not normal, he's abnormal, right? But then the advantage of it that is that, say for example, with a normal child, and he became a druggist afterwards then, he brought embarrassment to me, to his mother, to the family, to the whole community. Then, now is that just most people say, hey, sorry for your child. No, that's all that will say. They will say, right? But you don't have the fear for it. You know, one Hafiz was here, so he lost his son in an accident. So he was very, very distraught, you know, at the time. So maybe the second or third day he came here after the child's passing away. So I told him this much. Maybe Allah wanted to bless you. Maybe it was planned for Allah, He wanted to bless you. If this child had grown up and he went off the tangent completely, he brought disgrace, moving around with those girls, he's in drugs, and doing all type of stupid things, then will you know how to save your shame? Allah took him away in infancy. Actually, he's guarded your respect. But he's so happy with that answer. Comes, he says, hey, you know, Ma, Allah took care of my respect. Allah took care of my respect. He took him. I don't have the fear. Now imagine now if the child, something else happened to him then. So you see, aslama wajhahu lillah, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And number two, you're doing it well also. Wa ahsana, it's not just giving yourself to Allah Ta'ala, but wa ahsana, you are doing it well. See now this person, see Allah, they had a shukr. You did it. And you know, your knowledge is all comprehensive. Comprehensive. Yeah? It surrounds everything. It surrounds everything. My knowledge, what is my knowledge? Not even a drop in an ocean. That's my knowledge. So, I can't say all that. So, I'm happy. And I give a good explanation. So, aslama and ahsana. So the whole deen in the past, in other religions and now, is about Islam and ihsan. Islam and ihsan. Namaz, again, Islam and ihsan, you did it the best possible way, as though you sing Allah Ta'ala, anything for that matter. And in these two words, it's the whole deen. Your whole life is just covered in these two words. We just understand it properly, give in to Allah Ta'ala's command, and number two, after that, do it well. No, Allah knows, I don't know. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. He knows, we don't know. Why it happened, how it happened, he knows it. Someone has wealth, someone doesn't have wealth. So the person that doesn't have wealth, he must make shukr also, say, alhamdulillah, I don't have wealth. But I had the wealth, I don't know what I would have been doing. Haram things I would have been doing, I could have been proud, I could have been boasting, I could have been dancing, wrong things I could have been doing, right? Now I don't have it, alhamdulillah, I'm safe from so many wrong things. But I mustn't think now, he's got wealth, so he's dancing and he's boasting, I mustn't think that. Of myself, I think, I had the wealth, I could have been misusing this wealth. So Allah saved me, not giving me that wealth. So in any situation, whether it is deeni or not deeni, but you're happy about the decision of Allah Ta'ala. And you're doing it well. Not only happy, but you're doing it well. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَهُ أَجْرُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. His reward is confirmed. Nothing to fear about. Nothing to fear about. Some days back, so I was thinking, you know, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So, there'll be no fear for him. There'll be no fear for him. What is the meaning of no fear on him? See, Musa alayhi salam saw the snake, right? And then, وَاللَّا مُدْبِرَوْ وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. He turned, and he didn't even take a side glance to see what's going on now. Then Allah reassured him, لَا تَخَفْ. So, When it happened to me, then I understood. When I had to go to the police station, then I understood the tafsir, right? It was worth it because I paid the price, but I understood the tafsir. So when we went there and came back, alright, there was a little bit of uneasiness that was going on, right? I know the procedure, right? But there was a little bit of uneasiness. But now, at the end we understood, really was not a thing to be afraid about. Like Musa alayhi salam was in that predicament, and it wasn't a thing to be afraid about. But he at that time, he felt afraid, right? So Allah is saying, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. Really there's no fear. But as a human being, You made us feel afraid at that time. But is there anything to be afraid about? Nothing to feel afraid about. See that? Isn't it worth it, worth the while?